struggling to get it open. So I wonder if there's anyone who might help me open this present. All right, we're going to go with Ben. All right, Ben, you open this for us. Amazing stuff. All right, what is it?
No idea.
No idea. Well, read the label.
Coffee.
It's coffee. All right, do you like coffee?
Yes.
Oh, you do? All right. That's quite fantastic. Well, unfortunately, you can't have the coffee because I need it. but thanks, Ben. Now, many wouldn't have appreciated receiving coffee as a gift. Others would have really appreciated coffee, and I would count myself in that category. I love a good coffee. But there are a few reasons that I chose to use a coffee as an illustration this morning. Firstly, because coffee needs to be opened and the aroma needs to be appreciated, and then the beans need to be tasted. Now, if you're not into the modern trend of coffee and you don't enjoy coffee, don't worry, you're not a has-been. In fact, if you like coffee, you're far more likely to be a has-been because you has coffee been, right? Sorry, my wife is shaking her head. I'm getting to the stage of life where my boys aren't laughing at my jokes anymore, and it's really hurtful. But on a serious note, oh, that's actually sticking in my mouth. Much better. All right. Now, on a serious note, have we taken time to truly consider what lies beneath the bright wrappings of Christmas? Have we truly engaged with the deeper meaning of the carols that we sing and of the Bible references that we know so well? That the long-awaited Christ was born of Mary in a stable and laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Have we made room for Christ in our hearts this Christmas as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And if we haven't, the words of that old song come to mind. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15 and Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2 speak of Christ as a fragrant offering. And certainly not all enjoy coffee, but have we come to truly appreciate the fragrant aroma of Christ? He beyond any other is the one that each of us are called to hold dearest in our hearts. And then Psalm 34 verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Have we tasted the true message of Christmas? Do we see the goodness of our Lord, that he would come to us as Emmanuel? Those who have been around during our Advent series this year will know that the theme has been based on Romans chapter 7 and 8, that we were justly separated from God by our sin. But in Christ Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, we are now separated from sin by our God. Condemnation neither now nor evermore for those who are in Christ Jesus. And friends, have we tasted the goodness of the true message of Christmas? Now, significantly, I chose this particular coffee because it is called Revelation. That's the name of the coffee, and it's not a bad coffee. I don't know anything about the makers of this coffee, but it's a decent coffee if you've had it. But the reason I chose it is because of that name, Revelation. At the end of Paul's letter to the Romans, Jesus is referred to in terms of the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. For ages gone by, there was a growing anticipation among the people of God to see the appearance of the long-awaited Messiah. And then one day, because of God's grace, because of his amazing grace, Emmanuel, which means God with us, appeared to us in Bethlehem in the form of a human baby. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, as we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. So we hear about this great gift. The next question we need to ask is, how do we respond to this great gift? Not the coffee, the greatest gift that we can ever imagine. I wonder, particularly the younger folk, how did you respond to some of the presents that you might have got this Christmas? Brian's doing this, Kai? It needs to be set up. Okay, so there's a delayed response, is there? Yeah. All right, okay. And what was your initial response? Anyone surprised by a gift that you received? Yeah. Well, how about you? So shocked in a good way. Lovely, okay. All right, lovely. So there's a range of responses that we might have exhibited. Excitement. Some of us might have jumped up and down. We might have even shed a tear of joy if we were really excited about what we'd received. Hopefully, we had grateful hearts within our response and a love and appreciation for the giver of the gifts. Now, coffee probably, even if you're a coffee fan, as Ben claims to be, probably coffee wasn't the most exciting gift for a child to receive, I'm sure. And so it's fair that there's a limited response to that. But church is always a place of second chances. And I've got another gift with me that I think will do slightly better. So who's going to open this one? Well, all right, let's go with Alexander. Right, let's see what that is. All right, show everyone, what is it? All right, it's celebrations. Right, now, the giving and receiving of gifts at Christmas time for Christmas, at Christmas time, for Christians, it's not only an expression of kindness, of the kindness in our hearts and of our love for others. It's also one of the ways that we celebrate the greatest gift of all. And it's a gift that we have to receive. So, Alexander, as you receive this gift, my encouragement is that you remember to celebrate Christ this Christmas, and that you share that with as many people as you can. So, we've heard about and seen and personally experienced a range of responses to various gifts this Christmas. But the big question that remains is this: how have we responded to the greatest gift of all this Christmas? How have we responded to Emmanuel? Are we moved in our hearts by the gift? Do we celebrate it and want to share it with all the world? Do we fall down and worship Christ Jesus as we think upon these things? Or do we fail to see beyond the outer wrappings of the cultural Christmas festivities that are all around us, wrappings that will soon be cast aside, as we see the wrappings already cast aside on the floor from those gifts? In Scripture, we see a range of responses to the birth of Christ. The shepherds, we see, demonstrated great excitement and curiosity as they hurried off to discover all that they'd heard about. Like eager children running to the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, eager to receive their gifts. Luke chapter 2, verse 16 says that they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. We know that the wise men brought offerings from afar and bowed down in worship when they found him. And on the other hand, there was Herod, whose heart was filled with hatred, and he sought to destroy the gift. But this morning, I want to focus in on the response of the angels, those marvelous heavenly beings that Scripture gives us but a glimpse of. Nonetheless, quite obviously, their understanding of who God is far superior to our understanding of who God is. And so we do well to heed their exemplified response of the birth of Christ. As we read in Luke chapter 2, perhaps one angel was enough to bring the message of the birth of Christ to the shepherds, but appropriate to the splendor and brightness and worth and abundance of God and to the magnitude of the message of Christ's birth, a multitude of heavenly hosts suddenly burst forth, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Luke chapter 2, 13 to 14. In response to the greatest gift of all, even though they were not to be the benefactors of the gift, a host of angels suddenly appeared, giving glory to God in the highest. And what a sight that must have been. So how will we respond to the greatest of gifts? Will we join the host of heaven this Christmas morning? In a moment, we will stand and sing a familiar hymn. And my question as we do so is this: will we simply sing a familiar carol, or will we be moved in our hearts to join the triumph of the skies? Will we be mulling over our plans for lunch as we sing, or will we join the angelic hosts and take the opportunity to give our all in worshiping our glorious God? My hope and prayer is that this Christmas we will truly join the hosts of heaven in praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and that we will go on to live lives that glorify God. In the words that Paul used to end the letter that he had written to the Romans, I close with the following words: to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Christ Jesus. Amen.